Welcome to the Global Missions Inc. podcast. Today's episode features Wayne Peters.
Well, it's Easter, it's feast, and it's a good time to be here. I was telling Brother Sunbull, sometimes it's hard to come, but it's always hard to leave. For myself, this is probably my 50th year. Sounds like antique collecting to me. But I want to read in the scripture a little bit in Matthew 26. I was wondering, you know, you don't hear much about Jesus singing. But here it says in verse 30, when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then said Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended. Because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Do you think Jesus knows what's going on? He hadn't even died yet. He says, when I am risen. He's got a plan. I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. It's not like us. We have good intentions. We're all in. Jesus here again shows that he knows everything. He says unto him, I say unto you, this night before the cock crow, you will deny me three times. Peter said unto him, though I should deny with you, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said the disciples. Well, I'll just keep reading here and then I'll comment. Then comes Jesus unto them unto a place called Gethsemane and said unto his disciples, sit you here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Jesus just told Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to have denied me three times. And now he's going into a time of prayer, a time where Jesus has to decide whether he can follow through with the very reason he came to earth, to die on the cross. And he calls, out of his 12 disciples, he calls three, and Peter is one of them. And he just told them that you're going to deny me three times. And so what I want to, So my point in that is, no matter how bad we feel about ourselves and we've failed and we've had good intentions, Jesus still invites us to the main event. I just love that, how Jesus is so inclusive and so loving and so kind to all of us. It just thrills my heart. And that's why all of us are here, because we felt the love of God. We felt we were sinners. And I remember the day I accepted the Lord, the following day, I went to the border. I had bought some stuff in the U.S. and I came to the border and I had a false bill of sale. Because those were the days when there's lots of duty. And, you know, that's called stealing. And I told my buddies, you know, the Holy Spirit began to work in my heart and life. And I rolled down the window and I threw out the false bill of sale. And I felt so good doing that, although I was littering, you know. So you green huggers, you know, you have to forgive me about that. But I threw it out and I went to the border for the first time in my life, a free man. Do you know what I'm talking about? I was always anxious. I had anxiety when I went to the border. Because, are they going to catch me this time? And are they going to question me? And I was so happy driving up to the border. And he looks at my bill of sale. He looks at my stuff. And he says, wow, that seems like a lot of stuff for this amount of money. Well, now I'm getting nervous. I'm thinking maybe I threw the wrong bill of sale out, right? I said, let me see that paper. And it was the right paper. And I said, well, you know what? You want to keep my parts here until you figure it out? You see, I was completely free. Yes. And the Bible says that we walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. And when we don't have that, we walk in darkness. You can measure the light by how much fellowship you have. Anyway, I want to talk this morning about, there was a prophecy that has impacted my life. It was a prophecy in a local church, and I'm going to read it. This is maybe 5 or 6 people prophesying. And if you can tell when somebody started and when somebody else started, you're better than I am. And is that the anointing? That's the Holy Spirit. Like, you know, 2 people have a hard time agreeing, you know, according to the Word of God even. If 2 of you shall agree. A lot of things can happen. But here is a local church. You don't have to be at North Battleford to get baptized in the Holy Ghost, to be baptized in water, and so on. It's beautiful to walk in the Spirit in your local assembly. Here's a prophecy. My people, I love you with an everlasting love. We can see that in Peter. He didn't get rejected because he was going to deny him. Jesus already knew that he was going to deny him. My people, you are in my river of life. I have my body in that river of life. As you are in that safe ark, traveling down the river of life, be not distracted by the shoreline. You'll see wars. You'll see rumors of wars. You'll see great disasters. There will be famines, earthquakes, floods, and fires. My people, do not get off in those shorelines. Be not distracted. Our brother wrote an article on distractions. There will be famines, earthquakes, floods, fires. My people, do not get off in those shorelines. Be not distracted. As I take you down the river of life in that ark, my people, I am your all in all. I am your victor. I am your peace. I am your conqueror. I am your healer. I am your God. I am your Savior. Stay in the ark, protected in that river of life. For I am leading you down that river, and the way will get brighter and brighter as the day approaches. That's quite different than walking in the world, isn't it? My people, keep your eyes on me and upon that prize of that great and high calling of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. My people, I love you with an everlasting love. Have full confidence in me. Do not depart or take your eyes off of me. Keep them on the great prize and not be distracted by those things around you. My people, be not distracted. There are many things that are going on in the earth today, and there are many opinions which follow after, such as who is in the right and who is in the wrong. Opinions. Do not get caught up in being a judge over who is right and who is wrong. For yea, as the rulers of this earth fall further and further from me, there shall be more confusion, more chaos in the earth. They will not know what is right from wrong. And the opinions shall just toss those as a wave in the ocean. I have asked you to be steadfast and stayed on me. Be not caught up in the opinions of the world. Yea, but know ye this, that my word is yea and amen. This earth and this plan has a course it must take. But know ye this, that my kingdom is being established. It is being established in your heart, says the Lord. Doesn't the Lord say that the kingdom comes within you? What is the kingdom? Righteousness, peace, and joy. I had that when I went to the border. You don't have to wait for some time down the road. We can all be free now. You're not to have opinions in this earth. You are to represent the kingdom of the living God. You shall walk in accordance to the scriptures. You shall not say that which is on your heart, for your mind will deceive you. There we see that there's an inner struggle. It's a wonderful thing that we were born in this world. It's a much more wonderful thing that we were born again into the family of God. And this is the family of God. If you will break from the world's mold, I shall give you a new mind, says the Lord. Prophecy said about not saying what's on your mind, we should evaluate every word that proceeds out of our mouth on what? The word of God. The scripture says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. And we need to know what the word of God says. If you want to start somewhere, start with the law, the Ten Commandments. A lot of people don't really seemingly read them, or certainly are not living according to them. Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law, I came to fulfill the law. In fact, when we look at the law, and it says, thou shalt not kill, it's a higher law than taking somebody's life. He says, if you don't like somebody, you've killed them or her. That's a higher law. He didn't diminish the law. He strengthened it. If you'll break from the world's mold, I shall give you a new mind, says the Lord. If you will break from the world's mold, I'll give you a new mind. Now what you shall speak shall not bring more questions, but it shall bring peace. It shall bring truth. It shall settle the debate that is in the earth today. And there is a God that His Son came. He died for all the creation. He rose again and sits at the right hand of God. He has a people on this earth. Yea, and ye are walking here and there where I shall direct. Do not be caught up. Do not be distracted. Stay steadfast in my word. Do not have an opinion, but say that which glorifies thy God. Do I not sit at my Father's right hand? Has not the Father given me all power and all authority over all the universe? There's nothing that is not under my feet, says the Lord. When I died upon the cross, I said it was finished. All power and all authority was crushed under my feet. Though darkness still covers the earth and gross darkness the people, I say unto you, there is a light which is coming from my people, says the Lord. It is the light of the Spirit. My people, I say to you, I am asking you to wait upon me, to look for me, to seek my face. The enemy has been distracting you with so many things. The enemy has been saying that it is fun. It is good. But you know it leads to death, hell, and the grave. My people, lay aside these things. My word, I have shown you what is right and what you should do. I am asking you, my people, to take my hand. Let me lead you into the river, not just ankle deep, not just knee deep, but into the middle of the river where the current is strong, that you no longer have control, that you will flow wherever this river will take you. And when you arrive to where you want to go, it shall be given unto you that which you shall speak, that which you shall do. You may just give a cup of cold water to somebody or a smile. But my people, I say to you, I want to begin to lead you. You must let go of the bank. You must let go of the ways of this world. I have told you that is a very narrow path. And yet, my people, you still hang on to the ways of the ditches, to the ways of the things of this world. But my people, I'm asking you now, allow this just to subside, fall away, and die. And come with me. Come with me, my people. Let me lead you into this water, yea, into the place that I have ordained for you. That place where the Spirit of the living God shall control and motivate everything that you do, everything you say, everything that you are. Opinion has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. There are truths that have been established long before the earth was ever created, and they have nothing to do with opinion. Opinions can change over time in individuals and in culture. And the kingdom of God does not change. It is foundational. It is building your house on a firm, solid surface. Opinions are building your house on sinking sand where it can feel unstable. You're putting your faith in something that is ever changing, possibly putting your faith in something that can drag you down. And my children, a good reflection on where you're putting your faith and your trust is, if you are feeling a frenzy in your soul or in your being, you may have gone off into the place of distraction where there's instability there. When you are safe in my boat in the river that I have asked you to stay in, which is a narrow space, and it is continually flowing in one direction, it is not going to toss you around, it's not going to turn you about, it's not going to take you over sharp rocks. It's not going to throw you out. It's not going to go north and then south. It's going to gently and swiftly lead you into the right direction. My children, that is the place of safety. There's one peace. There's only peace there. There's only confidence there. There's only stability there. And so you can take a moment of self-reflection and honestly look inside and say, have I been caught up in the things of distraction? Am I feeling that frenzy, or am I in that space of safety, says the Lord. Remain in me, says the Lord. Remain in me, for I am the way, the truth, and the life. The blessing of the Lord extends from generation unto generation. These are the words of Mary before the birth of Christ. She said that the blessing of the Lord extends from generation to generation. I say to you this day that the generation that have gone before you, yea, have they not been of the Lord? I say to you this day, your generation and the generations to come, yea, they shall be of the Lord. It is a path that is straight. It is a path that is narrow. It is a path that is of truth. It is not a path of lies, for a lie is always changing. The truth never changes. It is a path that is straight. It is a path that comes from Calvary, and it is a path that extends to the kingdom of God in your home, in your family, and in the church of the living God. I have a kingdom that is built upon a solid rock. It is a building that I am building. I say to you, do not waver from the path, for the generations of the Lord, the blessings of the Lord, extend from generation to generation. And you have a choice to make. Did not you make a choice the day you asked Christ as your Savior? Yes, you had a choice. I say unto you this day, extend that choice unto your generations, says the Lord. My sons and my daughters, dost thou have questions unanswered? Come to me. I will answer them for thee, and I will give thee an answer that brings thee a life everlasting, and not to confusion and not to turmoil. But I bring to you peace. I bring to you health. I bring to you a mind that is stable, a mind and a heart that is full of joy and full of understanding. Because I answer thee of thy questions. So come to me first. Come to me. And know that I am that I am. And thou shalt live in peace, and thou shalt live in harmony with all that is about thee, even to those that want to be your enemy. I shall make them thy brother. Come to me for your answers, and know the truth that I am the I am. The Lord hear you this day. Hear you this day the words of the Lord. Open your ears, open your heart to the words that you are hearing. Because it is my word, says the Lord. It is yea, the lamp that will light the path that you are on. But do not listen to the voices around you, for there are many, and they are confusing, and yes, they will distract you. But hear the word of the Lord, because it is true, and it is amen, and it will never fade, says the Lord. One of the things that caught my heart, there are several things in this prophecy. One is, there is a place of peace. The Lord is saying that all the negative stuff that's going on is on the shorelines. But the Lord is asking us not to hang out on the shorelines. There is the conspiracy people, and then there's the other people, and at both ends of those spectrums is fear. We've got to accumulate, we got to get off of the grid, we got to get solar, we got to store up and this and that. These things are opinions. And when you develop fear, that is not God. Jesus, one of the first things that when Jesus came, even when he was a babe, was peace on earth, goodwill towards men. That's what he wants. He wants peace for each and every one of us. When you don't have peace, you have to measure what's going on inside of you. Where are you looking? Have you got your feet on the shorelines, or are you going to get into the ark of safety? It's wonderful that Noah prepared, built an ark, and when the storms of life came, was he troubled? He was not troubled, he was prepared. God wants us to be prepared too. You know, preparation may not be by accumulating a whole bunch of stuff. I like the idea of a prophet saying, go get a lot of jars. Don't just get some jars, get a lot of jars, because I got one jar here and I'm going to fill your oil and I'm going to fill every jar you're going to collect. If that widow would have brought twice as many jars, they would have just gotten filled. The only limitation was her. And that's the limitations we have. God's got all the resources in the world. But I was thinking about my own life, about opinions. Does any of you ever have arguments? I see one honest person here. There's a couple more coming. You know, if you walk in the light, you'll be set free, right? But arguments stem from having a different opinion than the person you're arguing with. So when I kind of boiled that down, what has God been talking to us about? Unity, right? Has God been talking to us about unity? He's been talking to us a lot about unity. And how you're going to know if you've got it is if you don't ever have arguments anymore. That's one measuring tool anyways. Because if we're not arguing with one another, then we're probably more in agreement. And we have more unity. We talked about this earlier on today. You know, it's 4 years ago since COVID started. We've passed 4 years now. And it's like 2 years of our life are kind of missing. And was there a lot of unity at that time? Was everybody agreed on everything about the COVID rules and the treatment and so forth? There was so much division that I started to realize how much carnality or how many opinions there are among us. But I said to somebody, I said, you'll never have an argument with me on that. And why? Because I don't care. If you want to get treated on a weekly basis, fine. Just let me do what I do and let you do what you do. I'm not going to condemn what you do. I don't have an opinion on it. I just want to walk with God the way he wants me to walk, how I feel I need to walk with God. And we are our brother's keeper. We do, you know, it's good. It's good to dwell together in unity. What we're looking for is life. If we had the power to go and have that power that Jesus had, where he said, I could have 12 legions, and I was kind of looking this up a bit, and a legion is 6,000, so that's 72,000 angels. If you could have all this power at your disposal, what would we do? You know, it's available to you, but would you go to your father and say, what do you want me to do? You want me to clean out all the hospitals? You want me to clean out all the mental institutions? Do you want, you know, you have a lot of doctors mad at you. You have to have another job for them. I imagine if you had that power, you could fill their jugs with oil and all would be well, right? Even within your own home, within my own home, we don't always agree. And when I don't, when I have a different thought than Lois does, then I try and convince her in a very gentle way, if you know what I mean. And that doesn't always go well. But I'm trying to develop a new habit and just tell her how I feel and without dominance. You know what I'm talking about, dominance? Dominance is control. We love to control. Humanity seems to love to control. We love to be in control. But God wants us out of control. He wants to be in control. You know? And that's what Jesus faced. He says, you know, I could control this. I could, there's a way that I don't have to do this. But what would happen if he didn't do that? Then you and I would not be sitting here. And that's why we're so thankful for the coming of Jesus Christ and for the season that we're in, that he was crucified on the cross so that we might live. We might be a family. Proverbs 16:25 says, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, our natural man, our natural thinking is, the natural man is a problem. That's what we're trying to nail to the cross. When we talk about crucifixion and crucifying and we're talking about laying down our old nature, you know, that's what we want to do. That natural way of thinking. He says, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end of thereof is the ways of death. And Proverbs 21 verse 2 says that every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord ponders the heart. Boy, I'll tell you, if I've said this once, and I'm not joking, I've said it 1,000 times. You know, I listen to a conversation. I'm listening to a conversation, and I'm listening to what they're saying, and I don't agree at all with him or her. But I realize that every man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit or ponders the heart. That's why walking in the spirit is different than walking in the flesh. Because if we walk in the spirit, we are going to be in agreement and we're going to just be able to say amen. You know, last night there was prayer here. This was a house of prayer last night. And we were able to tell God what was on our hearts and our minds and our desires. And I was pleased with that. I could just say amen, 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 because we were dealing in a different realm. Do you know what I'm talking about? Nobody's saying amen. Pardon me? You agree. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one of the Pharisees and one that was a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, I thank you that I am not as this man, as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. He's praying side by side. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto the heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Sometimes we feel pretty good about ourselves, you know, we're pretty, you know, I think we as God's people at one time had a lot of spiritual arrogance. Maybe I'm wrong in that, and if I am, then somebody can correct me about that. But it was us and them, spiritual arrogance. Maybe we were a little like this. But God wants to take us out of this. God does not want this. He doesn't want us to tell them how great we are and how poor those other people are. The end of that story wasn't good, was it? One went away justified. That's what we want. We want justification. We want God to set us free. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God." Okay, so the natural man, do we still have that? Or have we been delivered from the natural man? See, every morning and every moment after we get up, we have to choose whom we will serve. That's not a big one-time event. That is a moment-by-moment situation. You know, how I know this is pretty accurate is when I look at Peter's life once again. Jesus was talking to his disciples and wondering if they knew who he was. And then, if you know, then who am I? And so Peter, he's always Johnny on the spot. He gets out of the boat first. He does everything first. He's cutting a guy's ear off, right? That's Peter. But here he is. He said that he was at, when they said, who do men say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, I would call this a compliment. He said, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. That's the realm we want to be in, isn't it? That's where we want to be. Do you think Peter stayed there? The very next words that he spoke, get thee behind me, Satan. That's not a compliment, is it? But that's how quickly we can get into the Spirit and out of the Spirit. That's faster than microwave. The natural man, we have to make sure that we understand when we're yielding to it and when we're not. And having an opinion, God has spoken to us in that prophecy. He's speaking to the entire church. Opinions lead to division. And God doesn't want us divided. He wants to give us life. It says, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. He that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Then, what does that look like? 1 Corinthians 2:4 says, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. You know, there's probably almost everybody in this place could speak better than I can. I think you all know the story. When I talked to the Lord before I got saved, I said, if I ever serve you, I don't want to be a preacher. I guess that's about true, about right. Wasn't with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says that now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Matthew 16:22-26 says, Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it from far from you, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We were driving up, and Elijah said, what do you think those people thought about Jesus saying, take up your cross and follow me? This was before he was crucified. And I think they could understand it much better after he had died on the cross to take up our cross and follow him. I had never thought about that before. But this experience that we've had, the day we accepted Jesus as our personal Savior, that's a wonderful day. That which is flesh, and that which is spirit. So we have options. We can yield ourselves to the Spirit of God, or we can yield ourselves to our natural man, our natural spirit. There are going to be two opposing forces. I don't think I'm going to say much more about these things. There's a lot of things, a lot of scriptures that could be read here. But I don't want to give the enemy ammunition. I'm wanting to try more and more to stay away from opinions according to these prophecies. Opinions that divide, they take away our unity. I guess I'm just trying to put some rubber on the road in a sense. Like, how do we get to unity? It's wonderful to talk about unity, but what does unity look like? What does it look like in real time? And so, not getting into squabbles, opinions, and trying to dominate, because I know that domination is what Lucifer did. He was actually in a wonderful spot. He had no needs. He was the morning star, and he was an angel of high rank. He wasn't satisfied. He said, I'm going to be equal to God. I'm going to have the same power. He caused division because he wasn't satisfied. He wanted dominance. He wanted control. And so hopefully we can leave control behind. We can leave dominance behind. We can leave opinions behind. Get into the boat in the middle of the river. Be in that safe zone and not concern ourselves with what's going on the shorelines. God bless you.
If you would like more information about the moving of God's Spirit or resources for your spiritual life, please visit our website at www.globalmissionsinc.org.